This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, so here we're looking at Gemara Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The same sugya appears in Yuma Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Almost the same sugya. There are a few interesting variances in it. And we're going to look at a very strange practice of Rav and Rav Nachman, who did something very weird. They used to do something very, very weird. And if a Rav did it today, I don't think one would look too approvingly on it. And we're going to look at the halachic basis for what they did and the moral basis for what they did. And here it is. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says about 10 lines from the top of the Omid. Lo yiso odom isho bimdina zu v'yelech v'yiso isho bimdina achers. The sugya starts with a statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it ends with a statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So there are two halachas of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov between which this piece of Gemara is sandwiched. And there's a lot to discuss in this piece of Gemara, but we're going to try and focus it on one or two issues. What is the din of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? You shouldn't marry a woman in one country and go and marry another one in another country without divorcing the first one. In the days where you could have more than one wife. Shema yizdavgu ze lo ze, in case the children from the two marriages meet up, v'nimtzo ach noyse sachoyse, and a brother and sister could get married. Who knows who's from where? In those days, there wasn't such good communication. And if a person had a family in one country and he had a family in another country, one sees in the newspaper, one hears of cases like this, even in the same country. In America, there have been a few cases. I think here there have been a few of guys who've lived secret lives, who've actually had two families. And they haven't known about each other. And they're friends, different worlds, just living in different social worlds. And nobody's known about the other family. And certainly that can happen in across countries, and certainly at the time of the Gemara. And you could land up that there's all sorts of complications of mamzerus if the children of those two marriages happen to get together, or the descendants of those two marriages, but particularly the children of those two marriages happen to get together. And then the world becomes full of mamzerim. Amy asked the Gemara, is that so? V'horav ki iklo ledardashir machriz v'yomar. Before Rav used to come, or when Rav used to come to a town called Dardashir, he used to put an advertisement in the personals in the newspaper, or I suppose today he would use the internet. V'omar, and he would say, I'm on my way to Dardashir. Man havya l'yomar, anybody, any nice women who would like to be my wife for a day? That's what he used to do. Rav Nachman ki ikla l'shich natsif. Machriz v'omar, man havya l'yomar. Rav Nachman used to do the same. Interesting, it wouldn't go down so well today, would it? Even apart from the Chayim Rabbi Negesh. Let's leave that aside. Let's say there's no Chayim Rabbi Negesh. You're allowed to have more than one wife. Is that the behavior one would expect? He's off, he's overseas for a day, and all of a sudden he's looking for somebody to marry for a day. Marries, spends the night with her, divorces her the next day, goes to the next city. What is that? Where does that come from? The amazing thing is that the Gemara talks about it. Isn't that amazing? There's nothing the Gemara doesn't confront. There isn't an issue that the Gemara doesn't confront, and there isn't another philosophy or religion in the world that is like that, that doesn't have a taboo, including modern Judaism. Also there isn't such a religion. It's only Torah has it. But modern Judaism, also there are taboos, isn't there? There are things you can't ask. There are things you can't talk about. That shows that it's not Torah. What differentiates Torah from any other study is just it's completely open. So the Gemara answers, Shani Rabbanan, rabbis are different. They're allowed to do that. Why do you think? The Pekiya Shemayu, because people will know about it. So the kids will know each other. And he's going to get around, there for those celebrities. And it gets around, can't keep it secret. Doesn't say rabbis can do it because of whatever. Just some technical reasons. So you don't have to worry about the mamzerus problem. The children aren't going to land up marrying each other. Thank you very much. So now it's kosher. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Now, the Gemara is amazing in Halacha. When we question something, we don't question it on the basis of it's not nice. Because that's a very personal thing. So you'll never find the Gemara say, very seldom will the Gemara say, but how can you do such a thing? Because you're coming with a value judgment. How can you do it from your society, from your civilization, the way you think what Rav did was disgusting. In a different society or culture, maybe it's not. Just to say, is it disgusting or isn't it? It's subjective. We don't go there. The only way we question an action is using halacha. What does God think of it? The questioning is technical, but the reason we're using technical questions is to try and get to the bottom of it. Bahama Rava says, Rava, okay, so now we've got these celebrities who, if they have children with these one-day wives, the kind of it will be known, and the children won't marry each other, so we've got around the Manzeru's problem. But there's another technical problem. If a man proposes to a woman and she accepts, she's presumed to be nida from that moment. Because the emotional excitement of the marriage, of the pending marriage, can set off a state of nida. And therefore he can't marry her immediately. No matter how impulsive they might want to be and say, let's just run off and get married tonight. They can't do that. She has to go through the process of Shiva Nakiyim and Mikveh, and only then. So how does this work? Now Rav comes to town, puts an advert in the paper, he wants a woman, she comes along and applies, he says, you'll do, thank you. And what? Gets married? Says the Gemara, it doesn't work, there's a problem of Nidah. Answers the Gemara, Rabbonin Shlchayo have a Meshadru Medeilu. The Rabbonin used to do it 7 days in advance. They used to send out, if they didn't have the internet in those days, they used to send messengers and they used to have it set up. So by the time they came, their prospective one-day brides had already been to the mikveh. So that's kosher again. V'ibayisema, or you could say, another answer, l'rabonin yichudu ba'alma hu demiyachdilu. A very obscure answer, and there's a lot of discussions to what this means exactly. But what it says is, they never slept with those women, they only had yichud with them. That's what it is. They never actually had physical relationships with them. That wasn't the purpose. So what is the purpose? Damama, so you ask, what is the reason? Because we learned in a braisa, eino dome mi sheyesh lo pat besala lo mi sheein lo pat besala. There's a much bigger desire for something you don't have than something you do have. So in order not to live with such a huge desire, they married a woman. Now they've got a woman. Now they don't need a woman. Now lots of men are like that. They need you until they marry you, and then they don't need you anymore. What happens? What's the change? Pat besala. That's what changes. With women too, that happens. Pat besala. So it's very important to check. Does the person want marriage, or does he want the person? In the case of these Rabbonim, Rav and Rav Nachman, what did they want? They want that particular woman. No, they got a very nice wife at home. They don't need a wife. What they wanted was species woman. Okay, you got it now. Now what do you want? Nothing. Now I'm fine. Also weird, isn't it? But that's what it says. Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, the last piece of the sugya. Lo yisa odom ishto v'datu legarsha. Don't marry a woman if your intention is to get rid of her again. Well, it seems to be just what Rav and Rav Nachman have just done. Mishum Shneemar, because it says there's a posuk, a very beautiful posuk. Al tacharish al reacho ro v'hu yoshev levetach itach. Don't plot evil against your friend when he feels secure with you. Don't project security when you're plotting downfall. And I had a ma'aseh shehoyel this week. I had two beautiful ma'aseh shehoyels of the same company, client of mine. Public company. The one was, they had just instituted a system of values and middos and derech eretz in their company, something for which they were not previously known. And they have an ongoing adversarial relationship with SARS, with the revenue services. And they believe they've been treated incredibly badly, consistently. And they're at a meeting, and SARS has made an error of tens of millions of rands in their favor. and the discussion is a tough one. For once, after all these years, they finally got something and it's in their favor. And it's like in the final statement, it's okay, they can keep it, it's not going to be checked up again. And one person pipes up at the meeting and says, but trustworthiness is one of our values. And they stop, and they say, now's the test. Are we willing to pay tens of millions of rands for what we believe in, aren't we? And the decision was yes. And they called up SARS and wrote to them and reported the error. An amazing kiddush Hashem. And that same company was supposed to have a session and a workshop with me, and they cancelled. And when I questioned why, they said, because we're going to be talking about the future and we know that there are two people at that table that aren't part of that future and we can't tell them yet. But we're not going to sit there and talk about the future because that's going to make them feel unrealistically secure. Amazing. This pasuk. Al tacharosh areach haro. When you're planning evil, downfall, negativity, he's sitting around the table feeling secure, that's not a relationship that you can have. And so says Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, exactly the same in male-female relationships. If you're planning to break up, don't take her out for dinner. Planning to break up, that's it, that's sad and whatever it is, but don't manipulate. That's manipulative. To give a person a sense of security when in your own mind, you know the security is false. That's the sugya. Piece of Gemara. Now there are two things that I want to look at with you in the time that we have available. The one is what it means philosophically and morally, which we'll have a look at. But technically we haven't been able to catch them out. Technically they kind of have found the kosher way to work their way through this. Why they want to do it, we'll talk about. But I want to look at an interesting little piece of Lomdus, out of which comes another very interesting idea. And that is, the Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha, this halacha, this Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Well, yisa odom ishto v'datu legashu. Shouldn't marry a woman if your intention is to divorce her. And he adds, the Shulchan Aruch adds, v'im hoidio, and if you let her know that it's only for a certain number of days, mutter, then you can do it. So if you say to her, look, we're living together, and we're kind of having a good time, but you need to know this is not forever. This is going to end next week. We're going to Beis Din, we're getting a get, but meanwhile, let's enjoy ourselves. That's okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, if she agrees. Where does the Shulchan Aruch get it from? So the Beis Din on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says, it's Gemara. Where do we see it in the Gemara? From where? From Rav and Rav Nachman. We've just learned the deal of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that you can't marry a woman if you intend to divorce her. Rav Nachman did that every time they came to these towns. How did they do it? Well, it says quite clearly. They said, who wants to marry us for a day? And we'll see whether Yonah means a day, unlikely. It probably means for a period of time in which they're there. So we see from the Gemara very clearly that this deal of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov applies only if you're not open with the other person. But if you're open with the other person, and you let them know very clearly what your intentions are, and they're open, that's not abusive. They're free to figure their own position out and to respond in an equal way. It's not abusive when the information is on the table. Abusive relationships are when one party has information that the other party does not have, and uses that information to cause the other party to make a decision they wouldn't have made had they had the information. That's abusiveness. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that's what the Beis Din says. The strange thing is the Tur brings that halacha, that's where it comes from. The Shulchan Aruch gets most of his halachas from the Tur. The Tur brings exactly the same halacha, but quotes it in the name of the Rambam. Because that's where we see it clearly articulated. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisurei Bil, Perichof Beis, Perichof Aleph Halacha Chof Ches, Osu la'odom liso ishto v'da'ato l'garsho. It's exactly the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's forbidden for a man to marry a woman with the intention of divorcing her. Sheneemar al tacharo shareacho rov hu yoshev lovetach itoch. And the Rambam adds, v'im hoidio bitachilo shu noiseh soliyomim mutter. And if he lets her know initially that it's only temporary and it's a certain number of days, then it's mutter. That's what the Rambam says. And the Tur brings it in the name of the Rambam. The Beis Yosef asks the Kasha. What's the Beis Yosef's Kasha? Yeah, bring the Gemara. Why are you bringing the name of the Rambam? You don't need a Rambam for this. It's a Mefurisha Gemara. How else do you understand the Gemara? The Rambam's merely quoting the Gemara. By the fact that the Tur brings it in the name of the Rambam must mean that the Tur sees another way of learning the Gemara, other than the Rambam's. And therefore he paskens like the Rambam to say, I learn the Gemara like the Rambam, not the other way. So what we've got to explore is, what are the other ways of learning the Gemara that could bring you to a different conclusion? So one of the ways of learning the Gemara that could bring you to a different conclusion is to say, well, in fact, if you just learn it, the Pashtus, what did we say? What was one of the answers? How can you marry this girl? Because the moment you propose to her, she becomes a nidor. There were two answers. That was done 7 days before. Answer number two, they were never together. That's it. If they were never together, there are all sorts of other problems. Firstly, one of the problems is, what is the din if you marry a woman as a nida? You're allowed to have yichud. You can have yichud with a woman that you're already married to, who's a nida, but strictly speaking, if you marry a woman who is a nida at the time of the marriage and you haven't yet lived together, you can't even have yichud together until she's been to the mikveh. So what does it help? Question number one, that's Tosfos' question. Question number two is, where's the pat besaleh? What did we say? The reason they did this was because if you've got something that's better, but if they're never going to be with this woman, what is that pat besaleh? What's that easing the Yetzer Hara in altogether? What's it all about? So it would seem that the Rambam learns that they were misyachid with him. They didn't marry them, meaning immediately, but they did live with them later on. They waited till they came back from the mikveh. That's how you would have to say the Rambam learns. So let's go through it again. The Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov says you can't go to one country and marry a woman another. They say, Rav and Rav Nachman used to do that. Well, Rav and Rav Nachman were famous, so their children wouldn't land up intermarrying. Yes, but there's another problem. What about the fact that the moment you propose to her, she becomes nidah? Two answers. One is that was 7 days back. Leave that aside. The poskim don't go that route at all. Let's go to the second answer, which is the main answer. They had yichud first. They had yichud together, but they only lived together after she went to the mikveh later on. And we see that that's how the Rambam learns, because the Rambam has a strange din that nobody else really agrees with, that says, this din, that if you marry a woman and she's a nidah at the time of the marriage, so for example, this case here, any woman who agrees when she is proposed to, she may not get married until she goes to the mikveh. The man proposes, says, let's get married tonight. She says, I'm happy to get married, but we have to wait a week. I've got to go to the mikveh, then we can be together. That's the din. Fine. But then he adds something. But if the man's a Talmid Chochem, she can get married right away. And she'll get married, and then she'll count the Titzbah, and she'll go to the mikveh. She's Talmid Chochem, Yodea, she asur of an izom, izevelo, yekarevlo, at Titzbah, because the Talmid Chochem knows the halacha, knows what's going on, and so they won't have relations until after the mikveh, and that's okay. But ordinary people who don't know the details of it won't know these halachas, and that's not good. So the Rambam clearly is learning here that they had yichud together, because this is his source for this halacha, this is a Talmid Chacham, that's why they could do it. They had yichud together straight away, but they only had relations later on, after she went to the mikveh, everything's kosher. And then we say, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you can't do that, you can't marry a woman with the intention of divorcing her, so you see clearly, if you give a time limit, you can. That's how the Rambam learns the sugya, and it's neat. What's the other way of learning it? The other way is kind of the Pashtus. The Rabbonim Yichudu Be'alma Hu D'miyachdil Hu, they only had Yichud. That word Be'alma adds something. In Yuma, the word Be'alma isn't there, and that's another discussion. But here the word ba'alma is there. Rabban yichud ba'alma hu demiyachdilu implies they only had yichud. They never lived together. So there's no children problem. That answers both questions. So there's no problem. And that's the Ibai Center. Once you come onto this, there's no children. You don't have to come into the whole celebrity status. And therefore, anybody should be able to do it because it's not dependent on that. And it's just Yichud. They don't have... The Ravid says they didn't even get married. The Ravid says Yichud Ba'alma means they just appropriated somebody to marry in the event they chose to. But they didn't even get married. They kind of had a girlfriend that they maybe had dinner with, but they weren't given, there was no marriage even. And others learn, Rashi says, they got married, but only Yichud. They never lived together. They never had any kind of physical relationship. But now, what happens when Rav Loz ben Yaakov says, you're not allowed to marry somebody with the intention of divorcing them? What might we say now? And then you'll say, yeah, but Rav and Rav Nachman did. What could the answer be? So again, Rav Loz ben Yaakov says you can't marry somebody. Sorry? Yeah, but that's... Well, there was a Kenyan, they got married, but they didn't have sexual relations. That was the difference. So all you can say then from Rosa ben Yaakov is, you could technically marry somebody with the intention of divorcing, but not physical relationships maybe. Maybe that's what he's talking about when he says, Lo Yisrael. There would be no proof from the Gemara for the Rambam's din that if you fix a time, that it's okay. This, that it works if you give a time limit up front, maybe only works when you're talking about this arrangement. That's like, again, like a girl, when you say to the girl, I'm in town for a week. If you want to spend the week together, that's great. I'm lonely, you're lonely. We'll have some dinner together. We'll see a movie together. I guess Rav Nachman and Rav didn't go to the movies. But whatever it is. And then I'm leaving. And when I'm leaving, I'm going back to my family, and that's it. If you're interested, that's great. And if you're not interested, that's fine too. So she knows up front, he knows up front. That we can say Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov would work. But you can't learn, if that's how you understand the Gemara, you can't learn that even if they actually get married and live together, you can give them the time limit. Now what would the sfora be? What would the logic be to make the difference? As long as you're open, who cares? Now you get deep into the psychology of the sexes. So what are we saying? If you learn the Gemara this way, and clearly the Beis Yosef sees this as a possible way of learning, and probably assume some Rishonim do learn it that way, maybe Rashi included, and that's why the two says like the Rambam, not like the others, so not the Beis Yosef, the Rambam, the Beis Yosef sees this as the only way to learn the Gemara, that they did have relations. But according to the Torah, who quotes the Rambam as his source and not the Gemara, says clearly views the fact that Rashi and others learn the Gemara that they never had sexual relationships. But if they did have sexual relationships, then making the deal up front wouldn't help, and Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov's din would still be in place. That's how the Torah must learn. Why? What's the difference? You're being open, the facts are on the table. No girl believes in the moments of being together physically that the guy will ever leave her. She believes that before, and she might believe it afterwards when he doesn't call the next day. But at the time, she doesn't believe it. And that's not fair. You want to just have an arrangement, she understands. That's the arrangement, that's the deal. But sleep together, no arrangement counts. That overrides. Being together in that way overrides all contracts. There's nothing, nothing has meaning beyond the meaning of that relationship. And therefore the two would hold, according to Rashi and those who learn that way, that isn't covered by the making the deal up front. Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov says, don't plan an out, an exit, while the other party feels secure. At the moment of the sexual relationship, she feels secure. No matter what you said, she believes you've changed your mind. And that's very damaging. You just imagine if every guy would be taught this Gemara before they start dating. talking not only about the secular guys, religious guys too. What it is to play with a person's emotions and to understand how people feel and what goes on. But according to the way the Rambam works, the Rambam will hold in this case that that's not the guy's business. If he's been up front, then he's been up front. Then she must take care of herself in that sense. But the important thing is that he's not planning one thing and doing something else. There's got to be integrity. Here the machlokes then would be, according to the Rambam, as long as my integrity is intact, I'm not doing anything different to what I'm saying. I'm making my intentions very clear. If the other party doesn't get me, that's not my problem. As long as I've been very clear and very honest. According to the way the Torah says that Rashi could be learning, that's not sufficient. If I have reason to believe that the other party can't possibly hear what I'm saying, then I'm responsible for that too. It's definitions of responsibility and communication. Am I responsible only for the honesty of my communication, or am I responsible for the clear reception of my communication? And do I have to be so mindful and so tuned in that I know whether my communication has been received or not? And if it hasn't been received, I'm responsible. I've got to get that right too. That would be the way that we would learn the sugya in that case. So two different ways of learning. The Pashtus, we would learn it that. Yeah, but he's told her what it is. He's told her what he's told her what his intention. The question is it sufficient to disclose? Sorry. No, but that. So the question is that my problem? As long as I've been honest, is that good enough? And the way we're learning and the way that the Torah understands Rashi would be no, that's not good enough. That's not the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin that as long as there's clarity and there's integrity, that's okay. But certainly the way that Rashi would be learning according to the Torah, that wouldn't be sufficient. And there's some Achronim that want to claim that lahalocha, that this doesn't work if the boundaries are not very clear. Here it was clear because she knows he's got a family overseas. She knows he's going back. Well, that under those circumstances it's clear. But if he's living in the same place and he's not going back, and certainly if he gives her any reason to think that this is for real, then he's playing with her mind. And that's not fair, that's abusive. So what's the morality? So we understand the halacha of it, the different ways of learning. There's a third way of learning the Gemara as well, by the way. We could learn that he does not have relations with her, and yet we're not worried about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov even when he does, because this is the way Tosfos wants to learn in Yonah. In fact, what they do is he gets married. They do not have physical relations. The reason it's pas pasalo is not just because he has a wife technically, but because he could have relations with her. And if he did, he would take her home. There's no havamina that he would have relations and leave her there and then go back. So Tosfos, if he would have relations, he would take her home, and that's how you get away from the whole question of how will you know across the continents. No, you'll take her home as his second wife, and they'll live as two as a family. That's what would happen, and that's the pas pasalo. He knows I could it if I want to, if the etzahora is so serious or whatever it is, yeah, we could have a relation, but I've got to take responsibility with that. If I have relations with her, I've got to take her home and support her and take care of her. But I'm free to do that. The moment I know that I'm free to do that, but I have responsibilities attached, that helps the etzahora. The responsibility helps the etzahora. That's why the etzahora went wild after the discovery of the contraceptive pill. Because it removed consequence from action. When you can act without consequence, the Yetzirah goes wild. That's why the internet is so dangerous. Because you can interact on the internet without consequence. You can be somebody you're not. You can have an illusionary life. And you can turn it off, and you can delete, and you can change your name. You can do what you want. It's a life without consequence. A life without consequence is addictive. Because it's just the best thing. The only thing that keeps us in track is consequence. So if these chacholim realized, yes, I've married a woman, now my choice is I either divorce her before we have relations and I go home, in which case all I've done is kind of eased my yetzahara, or I marry her and take her home. That is the choice. Under those circumstances, that would also cover Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But what we need to look at finally is not just the halachic detail of it, but what's the message underneath it? What is the Gemara telling us this for? Why is it relevant to us, and why did they do it? What goes on? Could they not live without women for a week? What is it all about? Yeah, it's like kind of, is this like kind of making prostitution? Is this kosher prostitution? Like in the places in New York where they have what are these places called? Houses of prostitution. Sorry? Brothels. They have brothels with where the women have gone to the mikveh, where the food is glatt kosher, where the yain's not yain nesach. They've got such things. To make it kosher. In fact, we're living in a time now where almost any experience can be had kosher. So the Yetzer Hara has got full reign. And there's some rabbonim that are very upset with it. The restaurants that are available and the brands of wine that are available and all the things that are available. Because it's basically, some rabbonim feel that we've lost all sense of discipline. Because now basically everything can be done kosher. There's nothing you have to say no to. The only question is, do you go to that restaurant or that restaurant? You want to taste prawns, they've got mock prawns. You want to taste this, they've got mock that. There's nothing wrong with it. I claim the Gemara tells us that. The Gemara in Chulin tells us how to access the different tastes of different tray foods. If you want to cook basa b'cholov, you use a cow. You cook up an adder. You want to taste blood, you have a liver. You want to taste chazer, you want to taste pork, there's a certain kind of fish that you can cook in a certain way and it tastes like pork. The Gemara tells you how to do it. Why is the Gemara telling you that? If you want to have the taste of what it's like to live with a married woman, marry a divorcee whose husband is still alive. You'll get a bit of the taste. Why does the Gemara tell you that? Because the Gemara wants you to know it's not the taste that is also. It's the way you get it. The kashrus and the taste is not in there. There are ways to get things. And we need to put into mind, to retain consciousness. What's important is that when you're doing something and you're looking at the kashrus of it, your mind is on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's fine. You can go into a restaurant and there are 150 different wines to select from. Yeah, but you're thinking, you're looking at the hechsher. Is it mevushal? Isn't it mevushal? Did the waiter touch it or didn't the waiter touch it? Where's your head? Your head's with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's all we want. So you're busy cooking up a liver to taste blood. Fine, you've got a timer, you want to taste what blood is like. What are you thinking? Was the liver roasted properly? Was it kashered properly? Is it prepared properly? Your head's in the right place. All these halachas, what the Gemara is teaching us is these halachas are to keep your head in the right place. It's not about the thing, it's not about the object. So is this kind of like what Shmuley Boteach calls kosher, what does he call it? Kosher sex. Is that kind of what it is? Yeah, well, kind of. But is that Slat Rav and Rav Nachman have to come and teach us that? It still doesn't satisfy. But I think the lesson is deeper. We can't understand what Rav and Rav Nachman were on about and why they were doing it and so on. But probably Rav and Rav Nachman were operating on a level of a totally integrated being. So we've got to try and link it up to the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim just told us you should be in a space where the physical needs are completely unnecessary and redundant. Rav and Rav Nachman go away for a few days and they've got to find a woman. How do you put that together with the Nefesh HaChaim? So what we said was the Nefesh HaChaim was not talking about making it redundant. The Nefesh HaChaim is not talking about in any way denying and submerging any part of the human personality. That's not what it's called. It's about elevating it. So what would Rav and Rav Nachman have to do with their sexual passions? And I'm not using sexual just in the pure physical sense, but everything that goes into the man-woman relationship while they're traveling. What would they have to do? The same as any other man has to do. What do they have to do? They have to deflect it. They have to submerge it. In that state, there's no way that they can do their full avodas Hashem. Because if they're over the Ribbono Shel Olam with their entire beings need to be active. Their entire beings need to be engaged. And for them, being away from their wives, as they had to do, this wasn't for choice, they weren't going away on vacation. For them to be away from their wives was Mesirus Nefesh, not Mesirus Guf. We sometimes get it wrong, we think Mesirus Nefesh means Mesirus Guf. Mesirus Nefesh means there's some things you give your soul for, and that's much more serious. It wasn't Mesirus Guf, that wasn't the problem that they were without physical pleasure for a while, that wasn't the issue. The issue was their Nefesh wasn't fully fulfilled. They weren't able to live full lives and serve the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chol nafshecha with all of their souls and with all of their beings and with everything they had. And therefore they needed to live complete lives, full lives, passionate lives, every moment of every day, and not minimize it in any way. And clearly they had the permission of their wives to do that. They would never have done it otherwise. Clearly it was understood what they were doing and why they were doing it. And merely to have that connection, even if it's yichud miyachdi, it's not just even for the physical relationship, it's just for the emotional connection. That at that particular time they're not on their own, they're not operating as a half a being, they're able to operate as full beings. And at that time there was no communication, so they couldn't even communicate with their families. They were isolated from their wives, completely isolated when they traveled. And they realized that wasn't good for their avodas Hashem. This is not just about yetzer hara. This is about their ability to serve the Ribono Shel Olam with all of their beings. And yes, in order to do that, if their intention was l'shem shamayim, they did it. And that's why the Gemara tells us the story of Rav and Rav Nachman. Do you think they were the only people who did it? Do you think there weren't other people who were doing it too? If that was a norm at that time. Other people, it's not relevant because they could be doing it for all funny reasons. What's important is why Rav and Rav Nachman were doing it. And that they had to find a way to do it that was technically okay, that was spiritually okay, that was okay in terms of the morality of the relationship with the woman, that she understood, that she was willing to do that, and that in that way they were able, even in those days of being away from their families, to be able to live lives that were full, lives that were vivacious, lives that were robust, lives that were passionate, and were able to put all of that into their service of the Ribono Shel Olam. Yeah.